Episode 100 continues right now.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Let me guess.
Natural
got?
Three.
Lork is back, baby.
Lork is certainly back.
Three words. Lork's gonna
lork. Lork's gonna lork, Matthew.
All right. Anybody over 24? Anybody over 24, 25? Nothing from Baron and Gormley?
All right.
Anybody over 20 or 19?
22 for the person you haven't met yet.
Ooh. What's the actress again?
Sarita Chowdhury.
Is anyone else having the best time?
This is awesome.
Ever, or is it just me?
I think we can officially say we're having fun.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody over 15?
Ooh,
Orphus. Orphus, what you got?
Not a speedy group.
Orphus rolled 12.
Pembroke?
I rolled a 6, young man.
I've got a 5. I'm right behind you.
Wow, Lork. Bringing up the rear. Lork and Barry. Brutes Magoots. Let's take a look at the map. Wow. You know what I need next is wireless headphones. Grant, where's your mini? I want to get you on the map.
You gave me a mini before I came in, but I'd like to unveil.
Oh, Emmett Smith again?
It's not Michael Irvin. It's not Emmett Smith. It's not Troy Aikman. 3-time Super Bowl winning triplets. It's my Warhammer mini, a space orc.
Oh, that looks good.
Well, he looks way tougher than Lork.
That is big, but it's still...
It's a little big, but it's fine.
It still takes up... It's Brock Lesnar big. It's still a 5-foot square.
Oh, he's fine.
All right, so I got Pembroke in the back, because he was kind of coming up behind, with Lork in the middle, Barry to his right, Brock Lesnar to his left.
Barry, stay.
Oh, Barry, right.
Don't forget Barry. I feel like he's been kind of neglected, role-playing-wise. I want to hear from old Bear.
Let's get to work.
6 red caps surround this dusky-skinned woman.
Man, so many dusky-skinned characters in your campaigns, Troy.
That's what we do. I like that adjective. They see you guys, and the red caps act. First.
Yikes.
Okay?
Balls.
This is what's going to happen.
His character's going to die immediately.
And they can move so many feet. All right, so one comes at Lork. One comes at Orphus. The two in the back stay in the back, but the two to the sides close and attack this strange, dusky-skinned woman.
Only low-key racist? Would we say low-key racist as an adjective?
How dare you use my cat's name?
Low-key.
Oh, all right. Low-key racist. Yeah.
Yes, that's fine.
And is human woman? Looks human?
As far as you know.
As far as you know, looks human. So two will hold their action. One attacks Lork. One attacks Orphus. Two attack this woman. Two hang back. All right. First attack is on Lork. Misses. This one attacks Orphus. Well, what's your AC?
19.
Yeah, misses. This one attacks Orphus. Gonna be a 7. Ooh, here come the good rolls, Matthew.
That's a hit. That's a hit.
That's a hit. I don't know you. I don't know your AC.
I don't know you.
I don't know you from Adam. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Capitacasa.
Yeah.
Gets hit by two characters. All right, first attack. 15.
Miss.
Yeah. Miss. Second attack. Miss.
Yeah.
So they all right.
Wow.
Miss.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep. Every single one of them misses. Just coming. Misses. And they're all pissed. They're like. And it is now Matthew's character's turn.
Ooh. Let's see some action.
She's going to spin around. And as she spins, certain features are going to become more eagle-like.
What?
And she's going to wild shape into an eagle.
Yeah.
What?
Oh. Which does not provoke attacks of opportunity.
I was just going to ask you. So you wild shape into an eagle.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, and is that a full round action?
That's or standard action.
Standard action. Move action. Talk to me.
She's going
to
start flying up, so I imagine that does provoke an attack of opportunity.
The flying does provoke. They try to swing their sights at you. The first one, 28 to hit.
Hits.
If you're listening at home, a scythe is a times 4 crit.
Ooh.
And Troy only rolls neon green d20s. So that will hit. The first attack of opportunity lands. So while they didn't land true, they weren't expecting to be outnumbered. Well, they're still not outnumbered, but they didn't expect other guys to join the party. This one hits for 14 points of damage on the old eagle version of Matthew's character. The second one, natural one.
There we go.
And it has a second attack, but it's different. It's like a foot attack because of its spiked boots. So I'm going to take the fumble card.
All right.
I'm going to take the fumble card. It is a melee attack, overextended. You provoke an attack of opportunity from each adjacent opponent. So you get an attack of opportunity on it. Yeah. Eagle bite.
Hang on, I pull up the eagle stat
block. Just roll a d20 first.
Eagle bite.
Eagles in the morning, eagles in the evening, eagles at supper time.
When you get eagles on a bagel, if I get eagles in the town.
Eagle bites.
Talon. 20 to hit.
20 hits.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
4 points of damage.
Yeah. 4 points of damage!
So on her way out, she just rakes it across the face with the talon and just flaps up high into the air.
All right, like, we're going to call
hate
him...
the fucking eagles,
I'm
going
to give him a cool name. I'm going to call him...
Birds, yo!
I've had a rough night, and I hate the fucking eagles, man.
Red Cap 3 takes 4 damage. It is now... Let's see what Orphis brings to the table.
Orphis.
This is your coming out party, Orphis. Let me see it.
Orphis takes a 5-foot diagonal step back in the most intimidating way possible.
Very demonstratively, yes.
And he immediately opens his mouth and says, a battle cry.
Can you repeat that? I was.
No, please stop. We got it.
Everyone has +1 to their attacks, with the exception of Matthew. So that.
Get out of here. That's
what is
awesome.
That power?
That is called battle cry from the advanced combat guy.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Amazing.
Swift action.
Battle cries gives everybody basically bless.
Free action. Blood rages.
Free action rages. Blood rages. If you're following along at home.
Standard action.
This is insane.
Casts a spell called Face of the Devourer.
I'm gonna throw up.
Which is a transmutation spell which changes my face into a hideous shape. You do not choose what shape the target's face takes. It gives me a +4 circumstance bonus on intimidate checks, and it gives me a 1d6 bite attack. I will hand it over to Troy, our grand GM, to describe what my face looks like.
I will say the skin melts away off of your face, and every single one of your teeth slowly turns into spikes that turn into red caps, just bleeding blood. And so the red cap is staring at you, looking at a skeletal face with teeth, sharpened teeth, all covered in red caps, bleeding blood. Is there like a save they gotta roll to not run away as far as possible?
We can revise the spell if you'd like. Okay, good.
So it's just scary.
it's just a little scary.
Okay.
And that concludes Orphis Norkin.
That is amazing.
I am scared. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, welcome to the Glass Cannon Podcast, Pembroke.
All right, Pembroke.
Pembroke the Potent.
Is going to step back and cast Mirror Image on himself.
Oh, classic.
And he creates... 5 images.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, he's got five images.
Tottering images.
Yes.
5 images.
Six floppy hats.
They're all talking about different experiences he's had in his life, too.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lieutenant Lork Irontusk.
Lieutenant Lork. Well, he always moves through the underbrush with his bow, so he's going to drop his bow.
Uh-huh.
Quick draw Gorham's Thorn, since this thing closed on him.
Haven't seen that
in
a while.
Melee, yeah. Drop the bow, quick draw Gorham's Thorn.
Didn't leave that behind, I noticed.
Power. No, that one he's taken.
Selfish prick.
And he will attack this red cat with Gorham's Thorn. 15.
15 misses.
Natural fucking 5. Come on, man.
Lork is back.
God. I get another attack.
Okay.
Second swing.
Make it work, Joe.
15. Natural 10. So whiff, whiff.
Whiff, whiff. Barry. God. Barry Connick Jr.
Barry Connick Jr. will also power attack the same creature. Come on, Barry. Can you do it? 17.
Nope.
Nope.
Come on,
come
guys.
On, Barry. There we go. 20. Oh, no. 17.
17 misses.
Oh, God.
Lork and Barry. Been too busy meeting
actually,
new
Barry
friends.
Actually, doesn't have two attacks. I'm sorry. All right.
Well, they both missed.
Yeah.
All right. Red Cap's turn. The two in the back begin making their way forward. They feel pretty confident that they either cannot attack the eagle or... you know, I don't. Basically, they see that this woman turn into an eagle, and they realize either those two guys are going to take care of it or not. So they move forward. They have 60 feet of movement, so they actually double move to get like within 10 feet of their friends, just as like backup. Wasn't expect. Just thought that they could maybe catch a woman in the woods. Nope. All right. So back to the attacks. You. Got the attack of opportunities against you, and then did you fly up? What happened?
I'm flying. Yeah, she flew up, and she's just going to end up circling the battlefield.
Okay, so let's go back to the one attacking Lork. One attacks Lork. Misses. One attacks Orphis.
Sorry, before he attacks, he has to move within melee range, which means he leaves the threatened square. Because I have abnormal reach, which allows me to threaten 5 and 10 feet out.
Talk to me about this abnormal reach.
I have the aberrant bloodline selected for my Blood Ranger, which manifests itself at 4th level with abnormally long reach. I threaten an additional 5 feet.
Oh, so this thing can't just take a 5-foot step towards you?
Oh, the 5-foot step is a good trick.
5-foot step. But
he's leaving us. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Now that is very scary, and I don't want to attack you anymore. Does your face of the devourer do anything to him on the attack?
No.
It's just freaky.
Well, and he gets a bite attack.
Ah, okay. Natural 20.
God damn it.
Oh, natural 20.
Troy's gonna roll.
Troy's
gonna confirm that.
Roll.
You gotta confirm that.
Here it comes for the confirm. Natural 20.
Get out
on
of
the
here.
Confirm.
Neon green, John?
It's a scythe, too.
Oh, my God.
This is bad news, Bear.
Troy's gonna roll.
Oh, my
Troy's
God.
Roll.
You're totally screwed. 20 followed by a 20.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Oh, wait, that's bludgeoning. I got really nervous. This is a slashing weapon.
Yes.
Normal damage.
Which is times 4.
No, actually, normal damage is times 3.
Right.
Double damage would have been times 4. And target provokes attacks of opportunity from all threatening opponents, which is no one. So it's just going to be triple damage.
Just.
Well, that's
no big deal.
A blessing with a scythe.
Yeah.
45 points of damage.
Oh,
what?
Gosh.
Jeez.
Jeez. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Orphis. Orphanius. You see these people, Matthew's character. you see these people come up, and you can see...
Wait, did you roll 3 times separately, or did you just triple?
Oh, yeah, good point.
You're right. All right, so
redo that.
15 plus 16 plus 17, so it's actually 48 points of damage.
Wow.
It's more. You want to take the 45?
It's all good.
Okay. yes, I tripled it. Sorry. Matthew's character, Eagle's Wings, you see these people coming up to save you, and you just saw this guy get slashed. Now the two around you, they're still faltering. They're still trying to see if they can reach you, seeing if maybe you'll swoop down. So they're not doing anything. They're pausing, as it were. It is now your turn, Matthew's character.
She, in eagle form, is going to fly up and start circling around the battlefield,
uh-huh.
And she's going to cast a little spell.
Talk to me.
You ever heard of a little flame strike?
I'm nervous.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh yeah.
Nervous.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. So
on who?
On the two guys that were trying to swing at her.
Ah.
Let's just get them out of the way, shall we?
Okay, talk to me.
So that's a 1d6, 2d6, 3d6, 4d6, 5d6, 6d6. Can I borrow a d6 from somebody?
Neon green.
Neon green d6.
For you.
You get a reflex
from
for
the
half.
Geekery.
Six on that.
I see some
green.
Sixes.
29 points of damage.
What's the reflex save?
DC 17.
Fail.
Oh, jeez.
Fail.
Oh, whoa! Yeah.
So how many points of damage?
29.
29 points of damage to the two that were, like, waiting there for
God,
you to come
I
back.
Love flame strike.
Good job. All right, Orphis, you just got effed. Are you doing any sort of movement?
She's flying around.
Just keeps flying.
So there's like a huge column of flame just comes straight down out of the sky and just singes them.
Oh, flame strike. Okay, Orphis, talk to me.
Orphis is going to take a... Well, no, he's going to stay where he is. And as a move action, he is going to enact his intimidating glare.
Oh.
Which will allow him to make an intimidate check to demoralize.
Okay. So this is the one that that just crit you.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll your intimidate check.
Mother pus bucket.
Oh, no.
17.
And it's DC 10 plus my wisdom modifier?
You tell me, Doug.
It's 10 plus the hit dice
plus your wisdom.
Plus the wisdom.
And you rolled what?
17.
I'm sure that's a fail.
That's a fail.
Yeah, you fail.
Okay, this character sucks. Bring him back Baron.
No!
But his attack is going to be with Oathbreaker, which is going to be a power attack.
Okay, so that intimidating glare is not a standard action.
No, it's a move action.
It's a move action, okay.
Yeah. So, and I haven't moved.
All right, so you're so swinging Oathbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, buddy.
There 19, you go. Which is a critical threat with
critical
a great
threat!
Sword.
Oh, 19 on the die.
On the
critical
die.
Threat!
Critical threat.
28 to confirm.
That is a confirmed crit.
Critical!
On the same guy that crit you!
Nice. Bring the pain.
Decapitate.
Slashing.
Double damage.
Oh, that's good.
And push target one square in any direction, which is great for me because...
Yeah.
Yep.
With your reach, for sure.
So I'm back. Doubling my damage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 29 points of damage.
Oh, same as Matthew.
Yeah.
And he's going to enact something. It's a spell. Oathbreaker is a spell storing greatsword. So he is going to unleash Ghoul's Touch on this gentleman.
Ghoul's Touch?
Ghoul Touch.
What is this? You can just decide to do this when you hit?
You decide when you
so
successfully.
So, beginning of the day, you store a spell in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Come on! What does Ghoul's Touch do?
God, I want to be a Blood Rager so bad.
Imbuing you with negative energies, this spell allows you to paralyze a single living humanoid for the duration of the spell with a successful melee touch attack.
And I would argue that the sword hitting is the successful melee touch attack.
Yeah, of course.
A paralyzed subject exudes a carrion stench that causes all living creatures except you in a 10-foot radius to become sickened. Fortitude negates.
Ooh.
A neutralized poison spell removes the effect from the sickened creature, and the creature immune to poison are unaffected by this stench.
I have a couple questions. One, is there a save on my paralyzation?
DC 15 Fortitude.
All right, let's roll on that first, then I have some more questions. Failed.
Okay.
So it is paralyzed.
Paralyzed, but...
Second question, I think Lork and Pembroke and Barry take the damage as well.
Anyone within a 10-foot radius does.
Okay.
So Lork but no, Pembroke. They aren't paralyzed, they're just sickened. But they have a fortitude save as well.
DC 15.
And if you're immune to disease, you don't have to...
And that's going to include the one that attacked Lork.
Made it. 17.
And the one that attacked Lork made it.
Okay.
Failed.
Don't forget Barry.
Oh, no. Oh, Barry!
Barry! Barry might be sickened. All right, so Pembroke is sickened by this disgusting display. I don't know what's
Barry
going on.
Barry made it 16.
At Deepgate, but it's gross.
This guy is this guy that I attacked is paralyzed for 5 rounds.
Oh,
my
come
God.
On.
Wow. Dead man.
Dead man walking.
Dead cap walking.
Sorry to sicken you. I really like you, Pembroke.
All right, so now the field of 6 right. has been turned into a field of 5. One that is paralyzed has taken 29 points of damage, but he's stuck in place for 5 rounds. Can you guys wipe him out in 5 rounds? Oh, flame strike. Those also took 29 points of damage. Pembroke, you just got sickened
yeah,
by this display.
I am sickened. The sickening display. I'm going to take another 5-foot step back and start summoning Animal 4.
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, Pembroke takes a step back, begins summoning. Lork, you're up. This guy's paralyzed.
Yeah.
There's two other guys that have now come up, and you know that you're going to get attacked on two fronts
yeah.
next round.
Yeah, Lorca's going to keep going after the guy that's right in front of him.
Okay.
So here we go. Come on, Lork. Swinging Gorm's Thorn. I'm sorry. Lork is going to use the Victor's Belt and enter a rage.
Oh, no.
Mark it, dude.
Come on.
Five rounds. Mark it, dude.
This is what happens when Lork
dies. Here we go.
All right.
Raging! And he swings, and I can't see the result. Oh, come on. 17.
Swing again, Lork. Swing again.
No. Come on!
Fuck, I missed again! Fuck! Oh, they're all so low. All right, Barry,
natural
what do you
five,
got?
Natural five, natural six.
Oh.
Seriously. Barry on a power attack, that's an 18.
18 misses. Get rid of power attack. That's what you learn from these first two rounds. Round three, Redcap's turn. All right, so
come on,
Eagle's wings
Lork.
Up there. The two that just got flame-striked, they begin moving in to this clump of party as well. They are going to basically replace that second guard that came through because those guys are going to come up and attack. You dig? So those two guys that waited the first round,
yeah.
They are now coming up, and one of them is going to attack Lork, one of them is going to attack the Blood Rager, and that one will actually provoke as it comes into you if you do provoke. So let me resolve everything here in turn. The two that just got Flame Strike, they step up. They're going to replace that sort of rear guard. And then we're going to have two attack Lork, one is paralyzed, and one is going to attack Orphis. Orphis, the one that's going to attack you just provoked. Roll to that attack of opportunity.
And power attack still on.
Come on. Hit it.
With Oathbreaker.
Yeah, there
that
you go.
That is a hit.
There
that
you
is
go.
A
ooh.
Oh, my God.
That is 25 points
yeah,
of damage.
Yeah, bro.
25 points of damage.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then it attacks you. 15.
15 does not hit.
All right. Lork, the one up in your grill.
Yep, it's about that time.
24 to hit.
That hits.
Hits you for 15 points of damage. The other one goes after Barry Connick Jr.
No!
Barry! Natural 20.
Holy moly.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Fucking
Barry.
Kidding me.
Oh,
doobity-doo.
Barry.
We're going to make right. them pay for that wall. Okay. Doobity-doo-doo-doo-doo.
First. Okay. First, I think I'm going to... Let's resolve my Vengeance Strike.
What is that?
That is my Hunter's Trick that allows me to, as an immediate action, attack an adjacent opponent that is attacking an ally.
Ah!
As an immediate action.
All right, so that one went to attack Barry. The critical threat holds.
The critical threat holds, yes.
Okay,
but I get a swing.
Go
Come on,
it.
Lork. Kill him in one swing.
No.
No.
I rolled a 19.
Miss.
Natural 8. Like, what the blue fuck? Fuck, fuck, Julian.
It's unbelievable.
Do you want a different D20, Joe?
I'm 100% certain that Barry is dead.
You're 100% certain that Barry is dead?
It's a 4 times... Well, if it confirms.
If it confirms.
If it confirms.
All right. To confirm. 17.
Does not confirm.
Yeah.
Thank God. Because he's probably going to go down.
But max damage?
He's probably going to go... Was it unconfirmed?
You rolled
a
20.
Unconfirmed
yeah.
20. All right, so it's going to be 18 points of damage.
18 points of damage. Yikes.
Ooh, times four. I mean, these are deadly,
yeah,
deadly
are
creatures
bad,
using one of their attacks. They're not using their boot attack right now.
Yeah.
Matthew's character. Matthew, you just see... Hellfire and Brimstone down there.
It's gotten ugly. I mean,
it's getting ugly.
There's like skeletal faces involved now.
It is, with red caps on their teeth. Matthew, talk to me. What are you thinking? What is going on through this character's head?
I think she's going to cast a little spell.
Talk to me.
And I think the grass and the weeds and the plants are going to get a little frisky.
Get out of here.
And grow and start snaking up these four of your red caps, the four red caps that are not attacking Orphis over here.
Ooh, okay.
Oh,
DC 15 reflex and fortitude save.
And fortitude?
Whoa.
Roll them both for each, baby.
Oh, that's
wow.
So cool.
I have a headache already. All
Please
right.
pause for edit.
All right, so which four? The two that were
everybody,
in the back.
Everybody that's not attacking Orphis.
Yeah, the two that are attacking Lork and Barry and the two that are in reserve.
Okay.
40-foot radius, I'm positioning it so it only gets those four.
The first one passed the fortitude, failed the reflex.
So he's entangled.
Okay. The nice. Second one, pass, fail. So the second one's entangled as well.
Okay.
Third one, you said DC 15?
15.
Pass, fail. So that one's entangled. Wow. And then the last one.
The underbrush all coming up.
Pass, fail! Oh. So every single one of them is entangled.
Oh, but amazing. You saved against the poisonous sap that oozed out of them as they oozed up and entangled them.
Wow, this is Shades of Iwiga, right?
Yeah,
entanglement, the Bramble Bright fight. So these two in the back, and not the paralyzed one.
Nope.
But these, not the one that attacked Barry?
The ones that are attacking Barry and Lork, and the two in reserve. The ones
so five, not four people.
Four.
Just four.
One, two, three, four.
Okay, so not the ones attacking.
Not the ones attacking.
No. I see. So the ones attacking Lork, Barry, and the two in the back, all entangled.
Yep.
What is that, escape artist check? Yep. Strength check? I'll let you look that up while Orphis
you
takes
can do,
his turn.
You can do either.
Oh, well, I have so many options.
Orphis will take a 5-foot step back from the red cap and will strike him twice.
Do it.
Come on, Orphis. Take him out.
Oh. That is a 24. That's a hit.
That is a hit. Orphis. Gonna roll.
That Orphis is gonna roll. 21 points of damage.
Ooh. 21 points of damage. Now, this isn't the paralyzed one. This was the one that took massive damage, right?
Yes.
We'll call him Red Cap 3.
We need a Grant's gonna roll drop that is like... It's definitely
it's
over 15.
It's definitely a hit.
Natural 20.
Come on.
On the neon green die.
You're making me look bad.
Critical threat.
Not a confirmed 15. But max damage. That is 28 points of damage.
Ooh.
Oh my and it God. Is unconscious and dying.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, so in addition, I have a trait called bloodthirsty. Which, when you reduce a foe to 0 hit points or fewer, or you confirm a critical, your attack deals 1 additional point of damage.
Oh.
So he just takes an extra hit.
So that was 21, and it takes, so it'll be 22 points of damage altogether.
Right.
It's 28, amazing. I thought.
Yeah, it's 28. 29 total on the second attack.
Oh, and what did I just say, 22?
22, yeah.
I think the first one was 22.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret, Grant. These things have fast healing.
I was going to say, there's something up
and
there.
And you just took it to exactly its con.
Wow.
So it's gone?
Which
it's
is
gone?
Not like regeneration. They are done.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Awesome.
They're all done.
So that one is dead.
That one's gone.
Yeah, you guys are done. You did it. Yay.
Yay.
All right. One is paralyzed. One is donezo. Pembroke began summoning Monster 4.
Mind you, this is all difficult terrain. Sorry.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Fuck.
Way to go.
Well, I gotta do something. All right, so you guys see the celestial rhinoceros appear over here, and snorts and immediately charges at the paralyzed dude.
Oh, that's low hanging fruit right there.
19 to hit.
19. Just missed it. Wait,
no,
you
flat-footed.
Flat-footed?
Yeah.
It's paralyzed.
Oh, then, that's a hit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's a powerful charge attack.
Oh, boy.
46 plus 12.
46 plus 12?
It's a rhinoceros, 10, dude.
16. 28 points of damage.
Unconscious and dying.
Yeah.
There we go. So this one charges it.
Skid, I have a question.
Oh. Huh?
I have a question.
What?
Does this rhinoceros have a name?
He does. It is Richard.
Richard the Rhinoceros.
Richard the Rhinoceros.
Sir Richard.
Just gored a red cap.
And
now Pembroke's turn.
Yeah, Pembroke takes another 5-foot step to his right, and he launches a magic missile at the one fighting Barry, the one closest to Barry.
We'll call him Six.
Yeah. Which one is not entangled? That one?
These are all entangled. They're all entangled.
They're all entangled.
They're all entangled.
Yeah, every single one now. The four that are left, they're all entangled.
11 points of damage.
11 points of damage. Okay, that one hadn't been hit yet, so that's a nice little chunk. Lork, you've done... I don't want to tell you your business. You've done literally nothing.
Literally nothing.
What are you going to do? This is... Are you a leader of this party? I don't know.
Nope. No, Lork is going to turn to the one that just got hit with the magic missile, see it slightly weakened and distracted and entangled, lowered AC, attacking Barry, and he will attack it with Gorm's Thorn. There we go. That's a 22.
That's a hit.
To hit.
That is a hit.
And he does 19 points of damage.
19 points of damage to that guy.
And he'll swing at him again. And 21 to hit.
That is a hit.
And he does 20 points of damage.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
There you go, Lork. Now he's getting stride.
All right, so that one between Pembroke and Lork is really knocked down. Barry Connick Jr.
Barry Connick Jr., ooh.
He is sick. Oh, no, he's fine.
He's fine, but he's low.
Oh, that's right. What is he at HP?
He's at 10 hit points. Jeez. You know what? I think Barry's going to run, and Lork is going to tell him to stay. So he's going to, because he took damage, so he's going to have to push him.
Right.
So Lork is going to be like, Barry, finish him off! And Lork fails.
So
because of DC 25.
So Barry runs.
So Barry, yeah, he runs away.
Barry takes off.
So a withdraw action, so no attack of opportunity.
Round four. Matthew, talk to me about entangled. Those guys in the back, everyone's in the same situation. They're not poisoned, but they were entangled. So escape artist or...
Strength. Or DC 15.
DC 15. They're going to escape artist. Plus 13 to escape.
Shit. No. We only had one round.
Pass. Natty 20. Pass. Every single one of them breaks through.
That's a standard action, right?
Yeah.
Yep, that's their standard action to break out. Wait, is it? Yeah, I guess
it is.
It's
fine. Look it up.
I'm pretty sure it's like, web and all that shit.
It buys us a round, at least.
Yeah, it buys you a round, but they all broke out.
No, it's a move action.
It's a move action.
Well, still, but they have to move anyway. It's an action.
Right. Now, is it all difficult terrain around them? Like,
so
how far is it?
40 feet, like a 40-foot radius back, that's all difficult terrain.
So, if they want to move forward, these two guys in the back, is that difficult terrain?
Yep.
And so to move through it, they've got to, like...
They can only move half their movement, and they've already taken a move action.
Ah, all right. So, these guys, they have 60 feet of movement.
So, they can easily move up.
So, they can move up, but, like...
They just can't attack.
This guy can get... he can get there. Yeah, they can. They're all converging on Lork.
Yeah, this is so bad.
This is bad
news. Like
Bears.
Classic Lork. This is classic Lork.
And then the one in front of Barry and the one in front of Lork will both attack, because they didn't. They used their move action to break out. They're both going to attack Lork. First attack, 22. Oh no, wait. They're no longer entangled. So yeah, 22 to hit.
Yeah, hits.
Hits Lork 4. Oh boy, 16 points of damage. Second attack. Natural 20.
Give me a fucking
Dude,
break.
You're so fucking ridiculous.
Give me a fucking
natural
break.
Natural 20! I just rolled one to break out of entangled! Good night, Lork.
I have little to no interest in playing with you.
To confirm, Natty 2.
There we go.
All right,
so not confirmed, but max damage, 18 points of damage.
Yeesh.
That times 4 crit would have been death!
Oh.
All right, so, and then the other ones move up. That's all that they can do. There are 4 of them left. Matthew's character.
She is going to cast Expeditious Excavation.
What?
I have that spell also.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the one
Does that heal Lork?
It does not heal Lork.
just checking.
It does help Lork, so maybe just don't be so snotty quite yet.
I'm just asking.
Okay, so there's
Expeditious Excavation.
A 5-foot cube underneath the one who just hit Lork is going to be, all of a sudden, it's going to be dug away. And he's got to make a reflex save or fall prone.
So it's like a pit.
Exactly.
All right, reflex save, natural 1.
Fail.
Yeah.
Natural 1 on the reflex save. All right, automatic fail.
You fall prone in the pit.
How deep is the pit?
5 feet.
How deep is the pit?
But he's
How
a small creature,
is
isn't
he? Pit?
Yes. So he is in that pit. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one that just attacked Lork.
Okay.
And that is her action.
All right. So you've got 3 fighting guys. One of them is down. Orphis. Orphis, you've been doing all right. You've been kind of showing them what you got.
We're still...
Show me what you got!
My my half-orc brother's in trouble, though.
Yeah.
Yes, your new brother.
So I can't really immediately help him because I don't have healing spells.
Right.
It's not your jam.
And if I just attack now, there's still like three of them. Hmm. So what I'm going to do is try to even the odds.
Go on.
Orphis is going to cast Enlarge Person on himself. Which makes him threaten 15 feet out. And then he's going to get 15 feet away from that
guy. So your aberrant bloodline already has you.
Well, just be aware, Enlarge Person is a full round casting.
Oh, it is? Okay, sorry. Yeah.
So you stand there and cast for a round.
So, so that will happen next round.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, if he gets hit, it could interrupt his cast.
Correct.
I see.
No, but at the end of the round, one round means it continues until my next round.
Start your next turn. You have to roll concentration for any damage you take. Pembroke, you see this go down. He's casting. You know the arcane. You know what's going on. You know enlarged person.
I do. I've seen this sort of thing many times.
I'm no stranger to this.
But first, while I contemplate my action, I would call upon my friend Richard to step Sally forth and gore the man, red-hatted man, menacing my friends from the other evening. So he's going to try and gore... And miss.
Oh no.
And Pembroke is going to cast Charm Monster.
Ooh. Yes, come on!
Is there any one of these guys that hasn't been injured yet?
Yes. I will tell you who.
Whichever one hasn't been injured,
yeah.
Okay, no, the one to the left of Lork. This
the one
guy
closest.
Yeah,
the one Lork's been swinging at has not been injured.
Yes. The one Richard just missed.
Yes.
What is the DC?
DC 19. Will
what
save.
A character.
Will save. Fail.
Yes!
Yes!
I'm not even joking. I rolled an 18.
But it's still.
18 fails. Yep. All right, so that one is charmed.
I love the spell.
One is in a pit.
Such a great
spell. One is charmed. Two are still fighting.
Yeah.
And I'm rolling crits like they're going out of business.
No kidding.
Lork, what are you going to do?
Lord,
what are you going
to
do?
He's going to roar! He's trying to survive! He's going to attack the one that's been flame-striked, right?
So there's one in the pit. There's one that's been charmed. There's one in front of you.
The one that has not been damaged is charmed.
Right.
The one that fell in the pit was not flame-striked.
Right. The one up and to your right is the one that's been flame-striked. 29 points of damage taken.
Yeah. So I will attack him with Gorham's Thorn. Here we go. Come on. There we go. 25 to hit.
That is a hit.
23 points of damage.
He is still up, but he is hurt.
Here we go. Come on.
23
Second
points.
Swing is another hit.
They have fast healing, but it has to enact on their round.
Does 17 points of damage.
And he is unconscious and dies.
All right.
So he's down.
Little by little.
He's down. Barry Connick Jr. There are... One of them is charmed right now.
Barry is he's feared. He's running out. Yeah.
One is in a pit.
Unfortunately.
So right now you have one in a pit, one charmed, and one...
Unconscious and dying.
No, but one is still alive and kicking. There's three guys, right?
Yes.
Yes, the one that may interrupt Orphis's...
Yeah, but he's got to go past...
Bojangle.
Lork to do it!
Right. All right, so it is their turn. The one in the pit stands up. Does he climb? He has to climb out of the
climb
pit.
Out, yeah.
All right, so that's his standard action to climb out of the pit. And he's got a plus 15 to climb.
And he
so.
Provokes.
He provokes climbing out of the pit.
Yeah, his pit's right in front of Lork.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, take your attack of opportunity.
Come on, Lork, hit him! Power attack. Natural 2.
That would be
son of a bitch.
That would technically be a miss, Lork.
Technically a miss.
All right.
I know. All over the place.
Stand up. Stand up. Move action. Climb out of there, his second move action. That's his stuff. So now he is out and kicking. All right, so he moves up. Pembroke is wide open now. So he swings at Pembroke. 17.
That's a hit.
Hits Pembroke. All right, so this is the first damage Pembroke is going to
roll,
take.
Roll a d10. 9 or 10, it hits me. Below that, it hits one of the mirror images.
Oh, right, mirror image.
That's right. 8.
Okay, so one of the mirror images is destroyed. Oh, now so four.
This one steps up, hits Pembroke. What are these people? All right, and then there is... there is one standing to the left of Lork. I could move up to try to attack Orphis.
That's a charmed creature.
Yeah. Oh, that's the charmed one.
Yep.
You only have one creature to attack with right now, right?
And that's the one you just attacked with.
Yeah, because one climbed out, one attacked, one is charmed. All right, guys, make this
seriously
count. Matthew, kamikaze.
Well, does the charmed one get to act?
No, I would have to...
Oh, you have to talk to him?
...compel him to... if like, he won't attack us, but if I want to make him do something that he would... that would be in opposition to what he would normally do, it would be a contested charisma check.
Gotcha. So if his intention is to attack Lork, what do you tell him in his mind?
If I wanted to tell him to attack one of his friends, that would be a contestant. But he's friends of ours.
Yeah, so if he's compelling to attack Lork, he just basically says, no, that's my friend. And he's like, oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so he's just standing there, like, smiling at you guys.
Yeah, he thinks, like, we're all friends with all his friends.
Right.
Guys, so, we're doing really well.
Skid's like, attack your friend, then he's like, wait a minute.
Make this round count, Matthew's character. Can't wait till we get the name.
Okay, where I see it again. She's going to dive bomb the one attacking Pembroke.
Pembroke in the images. Uh-huh.
And cast Frostbite. And grab him with the talon.
Come on.
Nice.
Come on.
So this is a melee touch attack.
Ooh, I love it. So cool.
22
Ooh,
to hit.
Yeah.
22 hits.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's 1d6 non-lethal cold damage plus 1 point per level. So it's 1d6 plus 7. 10 points of non-lethal cold damage, and you're fatigued.
Oh, nice. Wow, okay.
Wow.
No saving throw.
10 points of non-lethal cold. That's brutal. Wow. I mean, that'll knock you right out. Orphis, what do you got?
Orphis, now enlarged.
Enlarged.
Oh, nice. He's got a giant minotaur mini now.
You just wanted to bring your other Warhammer. Yeah.
Yep. So he threatens 15 feet.
That's so awesome.
Wow.
He's going to attack the guy that was just dive-bombed by our nameless friend. And now that he is enlarged, his greatsword is now a 3d6 as opposed to a 2d6. So let's see if he can do some stuff. Now at a plus 7 to strength.
Wow, holy crap.
That is a hit. 25 points of damage.
All right, still kicking.
Did I take a 5-foot step to get there, Skid? Do you remember?
I think you had to go 10 feet.
Okay, then I'm done.
Yeah.
All right. Pembroke. You got the rhinoceros next to that one.
Right in front of you.
Yeah, the rhinoceros has got...
Don't forget the fast healing.
I won't. Were you talking to me?
Oh, then the rhino is just going to stomp on the guy next to him that's on the ground healing. Like, still unconscious.
Like, smash, smash, smash.
Yeah, just going to dom, dom, dom.
Oh, that's the paralyzed one, though.
But
the rhino doesn't discern.
Yeah. But still. So that's 15 to hit.
And he's unconscious or dying. That is a hit, yes.
Okay. And it's 21 points of damage. Jesus.
And he is now dead.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Way to go, Richard.
Nice.
Way to go, Richard.
Richie Rich.
Pembroke.
And Pembroke is going to take a 5-foot step back, like, look at the charmed red cap and say, come here, my little friend. And he's going to point his walking stick at the red cap in front of him and unleash a lightning bolt.
Whoa!
So not the charmed one, the one that attacked
the
you.
The one that just attacked me.
You dive bombed.
That's his last mistake.
And was attacked by Orphis.
Yeah.
Lots of D6s.
That's a lot of D6s.
24, and it's a DC 18 reflex save.
DC 18 reflex save. I failed.
Again. Yeah, 24 points of damage.
They have a plus 10 to reflex, and I failed. Oh my god. Lork, you're up.
We're not good. Lork is going, he's got one alive next to him. He's going to swing again. Gorm's Thorn. Come on, buddy. Critical threat.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Natty 17. Critical if you remember, Gorham's Thorn is
keen.
Critical threat. Come on, Lork. 20 to confirm.
AC 20.
Yeah. There we go, baby.
What's up, man?
Yeah. AC 20 for Lork.
All right, Lork.
Come on. What do we got? Slashing. Shattered jaw.
Oh, I love it.
Normal damage. And one con damage. Target cannot speak or bite until healed. So not terribly exciting, but he hits him right in the jaw. So that is 19 points of damage and one con damage.
Okay. Gotcha. Second attack.
Miss.
Shit. Barry Connick Jr.
Yeah, Barry Connick Jr. is out of the fight right now.
He's out of the fight right now.
Lork's not focused on bringing him back at this
point. The Red Caps began retreating.
Ah!
All right.
Very smart.
If you're within range of them, you get your attack of opportunity. Let's start with... obviously, the Charmed One doesn't retreat, so it's just the two left. So one will retreat that... when you dive bomb, did you stay down there?
Yeah, I don't have flyby attack.
All right, so you and Lork get an attack of opportunity on this one.
And Orphis.
You're going to get on the other one.
Okay, here we go. Lork's going to take a swing.
AC 20.
20.
Hit. Roll for yours.
With a talon. Natural 19.
So yeah.
Hit.
21 damage.
It's 3 damage.
It's 100% dead.
Yeah!
I mean, it was already unconscious and dying because of the non-lethal damage that you did with the, what was it, the ice?
Frostbite.
Frostbite. I was going to say ice luge. Frostbite.
Yeah, ice luge, that great spell.
All right, Orphis, you get the same attack.
Ice luge.
Natural
critical
one.
Fumble.
Critical fumble, Orphis.
Oh, that's an actual
fumble.
Do you get
multiple attacks, Orph? No.
I do have multiple attacks.
All right, roll to confirm.
Oh, yeah, roll to confirm.
that's a fumble.
You fumble.
Oh,
fumble.
No.
Slashing.
Melee.
All right, melee.
Cut off your
arm. You take 1 point of strength bleed damage.
Oh, boy.
While you're taking the strength bleed damage, that one gets away.
But it is difficult terrain behind it, FY Izzle.
Yeah, but this thing can move 30 feet over difficult terrain.
Yeah, it's cooking out of there. It moves 60 feet regular, so 30 feet. It's gone, and you are left with one charmed one and 1d3 points of bleed, and the combat is over.
Wow, what
How
a
long
combat.
Does charm person last?
Charm monster.
Days. Charm monster.
Seven days.
Seven
days?
Yeah.
So let's just talk about this new party right now.
Get ready to play a character, Troy.
We got Lork, Barry Connick Jr., Pembroke, the Potent, Orphis, a red cap, and a dusky-skinned woman.
Well, right now she's an eagle, but she is going to roll. She's gonna come to the ground and roll up and come and stand up as a human.
She stands up as a human. You just hear in the brush far away. Is that red cap? Bolts back to his red cap hole.
Does Lork need to do a heal check on Orphis, or does that strength bleed just run its course? Like,
I have no idea.
Yeah, what does it say? 1d3 strength bleed?
No, it's one.
I think
I need to do a DC.
Yeah, stabilize him.
You gotta, yeah.
So let's do round one. Lork has a good heal. He's got +9 to heal. 9 on the die, so 18. So in one round, you only take 1 strength.
All right. Bleed. What's 1d3? So I'll roll 1 point of strength damage.
Okay. But you still take that. We have no restoration, so you take that damage.
Yeah.
So. No. I have a potion of remove curse. I thought I had a potion of restoration.
So right, Lork is going to talk.
So Lork, you run over field wound. Fix him. He only takes 1 point of strength damage. Yeah. That could have been bad.
Yeah.
Can this be cured by lesser restoration?
It sure can.
Mm-hmm.
You look injured, my friend. May I help you?
Well met. I'm intrigued at your flying powers. I was awed by your ability to turn so feral so quickly with such rage.
So feral, so quickly.
Do you always talk so poetically when you are bleeding from the orifices?
My orphos has only bled a little bit so far.
I'm reconsidering casting the spell. But she will not, and she'll reach over and cast Lesser Restoration on you.
Oh. Yeah.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Classic.
I am Fereza Alced of Osirion.
Who are you? Your timing is well appreciated.
Oh, Osirione.
Yes.
Oh, and Pembroke immediately just starts talking to her in Osirione. Just like, oh, yes, I know Osirion very well, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, yeah, yes, you are lovely, like a vision from the east, like in the shadows of the pyramid. You must be a great light from within, like all this.
Shut the top of his head.
I am fortunate or cursed to be among such poets.
I'm sorry. I'm certain my accent is atrocious. But it is such a fine thrill to meet another Osirione speaker here in the wilderness, as we are.
She flips up. She has these crystal spectacles, and she flips them up to get a look at you, and she says, "My friend, you are aged. How have you made your way out to such a treacherous terrain?"
Yes, yes, I am aged. The arcane fires within me have guttered and dimmed in recent times, but I still have some fight within me. And with the help of these fine, mighty companions that I've stumbled across on the road, well, I feel I could walk 1,000 leagues in such company.
I am Lork Iron Tusk of Trunau.
For as I said.
A pleasure to meet you, and I'm glad we could help however our help was.
Help is as help gives.
Where are you coming from, and what brings you here?
I have come from very far away, across the inner sea, near the... Do you know Osirion, the nation of Osirion?
Yes, I will.
Have you been there?
I'll let the others answer if they want to.
So this is really creeping Lork out, because her coloring is similar to Pudir, and her accent is exactly like Pudir's.
The kid that he killed.
So Lork didn't know where he was from, but he was from Osiria. Like, I know that, but Lork didn't know that. And so he's just like, whoa, this is crazy.
That's very interesting. So you met a half-orc, follower of Gorum.
Right.
You met a man of the world.
Who's near death.
Who's like, who has seen his own death, and now you met an Osirione.
Yeah.
Who, okay.
Well, you know, she says that, and he's like, I'm not sure what that means, but like, he hears the accent, and it's like chilling to him.
No, I'm not familiar with Osiria.
I am but a humble farm girl. I lived in a small farming community off the River Asp.
Oh, yes.
Have you been there?
No, I did. One day, we took a day trip. I was doing a guest professorship at Sothis at the University of Miracles in Sothis. And one day, we did actually take a day trip out into the farmlands. And I took a drink right from your river, madam. As it happens.
We have seen many of your kind. You always come wearing pith helmets.
Yes. Well, I was wearing a hat sort of like this. But most in my company were, yes, they were wearing the pith helmets, yes. Yes, but I favor the hat.
It does you well, sir.
It gets very hot down there, as you know. I tend to overheat.
I do know. I know from heat, as you may have seen.
Oh, yes. No, and cold as well, I see. Not only that, you could turn into a bird, which is also quite impressive.
You are a druid.
I am a druid.
Do you know of the Vault of Thorns?
I do not know this. I am from a very faraway land. I have come because there was a prophecy. A prophecy of great imbalance in the holds of Belkson. And a tale of a chosen one who would unite a band of noble champions to right this balance. I have come to offer my services to this chosen one, if I might find him. Have you heard of any extraordinary gentle people?
Yes. Orfas Norkim charmed, I'm sure. I must be this chosen one, as I've been chosen to
live. Whoever says, like, yeah, that's me, I'm the chosen one.
It must be me.
I'm him.
You can only be speaking of me.
I may not be the chosen one, but I have noticed a certain imbalance in power, particularly favoring the orcs of Belkson.
I landed in Corvosa, a city far from here, but not so far, as I am from. And as I made my way here, the ground rumbled with imbalance.
What is the balance that you seek? What would please you?
I have heard tales and seen evidence of giants raiding the small folk all across Spelxen. A great evil is happening here. I must offer my services.
Mm.
I notice that the two of you are touched by the divine as well. Who do you worship?
We are followers of Gorum. We fight in his name and seek to bring the battle to the orcs and the giants as well, to even the odds as well we can.
As you see, struggle is timeless and never-ending, and it matters not whom I fell on the battlefield, but only that there are more whom I can fell.
It's so weird.
That sounds a little psychotic.
I'm saying I'm on your side.
Oh, okay.
If I can help you find this chosen one, it would be my honor. For we do need someone that can bring the fight to these giants. They're gathering in Minderhall's Valley and bringing a great army against us. I seek some way to find the weapons that will destroy them.
Then that is my destination. But as you have stumbled upon me at so opportune a time, I am at your service. For the moment.
By the way, my face has been exactly as Troy explained it the entire time. It lasts for 7 minutes.
Horrifying.
Firaza does not judge.
Whom do you worship? I'm sorry.
I worship Osiris.
Mm.
A deity not much heard of in these parts.
Yes, no, I've sat in on a few services for Osiris. Fascinating rituals.
I hope they were enlightening.
Yes, very much so. Very unique deity to that region. I was very happy to have been able to. Yes, very interesting.
It is a region of much death where I am from.
Yes, but also death life. And rejuvenation, yes. As the yearly floods come and regenerate the land in the river valley. Yes.
I am but the servant of his rebirth.
Ah, well, and then in Osiriani says, I am honored to make your acquaintance and to accompany you on this journey.
Just much obliged, and also in Osiriani. Ah.
I should probably introduce myself.
Oh, yes. don't be alarmed.
I didn't want to interrupt. My name's Razzmatazz. And, oh boy. This is a real unique opportunity. I don't often get to talk to people that don't kill their victims and dip their hats in their blood and wear them on their head. So this is nice. This is really nice. Oh. I like this. Anyways, so what are we doing? What's the plan? I'm with you guys.
So as he's talking, like, Pembroke, like, looks at the rest of them. He has this, like, little glint in his eyes, like, smiling and, like, kind of winks at them and, like, looks back and says, like, well, Razzmatazz, we are very pleased indeed that you've decided to join us on our journey.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. I'm so excited.
Could you tell us how you came to be here? Why your erstwhile companions were attacking this poor woman?
Well, you know, funniest thing, if you had asked me that an hour ago, I would have told you something totally different.
Strange, isn't it?
Well, I woke up this morning, I was like, I just want to kill the first thing I see. Whether it be an innocent woman or a band of people. And then, all of a sudden, might have been 5 minutes ago, I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And now, here we are. I'm Razzmatazz, by the way.
He goes over to Barry.
Nice to meet you. I've never seen a bear.
Barry, yes. Be careful.
Now, Razzmatazz, yes. as our friend, I must ask that you please refrain. I know that your people are very, very much love to hurt people.
Yes,
but
yes.
I would ask if, as a favor to me, your friend,
yes.
that you would not hurt any of us.
I see. So
now, it's very possible that we may run across other creatures on our journey that you would be more than welcome to attack and unleash your full fury upon them. So that sounds very exciting, doesn't it?
There'd be a lot of blood.
That does sound good. Do you guys wear hats covered in your victim's blood? I highly recommend it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you guys hats. And when you kill somebody, dip the hat in their blood and wear it. Just try it. If you don't like it, it's cool. But I think you're going to really enjoy it. You know what? I like you. I'm gonna do that. If you want me to fight, you just say, Razzmatazz. Let's have a code word. You say, Razzmatazz, skidamarinky-doo. And then I will fight your enemies. For as long as this spell lasts.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds rather fun.
Ah, yes.
And that nice drenched in blood hat. It sounds very nice on a hot day.
So. Ah, yeah, it keeps me cool.
Yes, yes, yes. I think this is one. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful week-long friendship. So, so now that's settled. We're all friends now, eh? And where should we go from here?
We're all friends now. We're heading to Bloodsworn Vale, for God's sake. To the Shawanti there.
Yes.
And I...
what do you hope to find?
I hope to find redemption, if I'm honest. I was interrupted earlier telling these gentlemen, and I... especially now with Razzmatazz joining, I think I should be perfectly honest.
Yes.
Oh my God. He's better than Tom Exposition.
I didn't help to save you from these crazy monsters in order to put you at risk again without giving you good reason. So there was a boy a long time ago. He reminds me of you. I think he might have been Osirian, though at the time I didn't know what that meant. And he was an opponent of mine, and I was young and foolish, and I killed him, and I regret it. I shouldn't have. I thought it was right at the time, but now I know it was wrong. I'm trying to seek redemption for this act of murder. And the Shawanti, they speak with the undead, and I believe that if I can talk to him, maybe I could... Maybe I could right the wrongs of my past, but you should know that this murder has left me with a dark cloud hanging over me, a curse that has affected my friends in the past. They've been in a great deal of danger when they've been with me. It seems that I survive the worst perils, but my friends seem to die around me. So I won't ask any of you to go further than you will, but... It is redemption I seek for this heinous act. And if we can survive till the end of it, I believe you won't be at risk anymore. At least, no more risk than you're already putting yourself in by choice.
Tell me again, Lork. Why did you kill this boy, who now you feel you should not have killed?
Because he... challenged my authority, and I thought that you could only lead by fear and violence. I thought that rage and hate were what made you strong, but I didn't know any better. He said that we needed to work together, that we needed to be peaceful with our enemies, and I thought that for the best of everyone, he needed to go. But I didn't know until much later when I met a man of incredible character and incredible strength that felt the same way, that it wasn't weakness, but an inner strength that had you be more diplomatic and make friends of your enemies.
A sentimental tale, to be sure. Tell me, you found... Gorham Thorn within the Vault of Thorns. You've regaled me with your tales on the battlefield. You were not always a worshipper of Gorham, were you?
I was not. For much of my life, I wasn't religious. I merely tried to survive, and with no real guidance. But it was in Gorham's name that I found the strength to fight the true enemies of this world. The evil creatures that seem to unbalance the equilibrium of the world.
Well, I can tell you, as someone who was not converted, but was born into the prophecies and words of Gorham, that the words you speak have a ring of heresy to them. You see, Gorham does not pick favorites. He lives within every sword, every piece of iron designed to kill, regardless of the intent of its owner, and he is often so brash that he takes what he wants by force, regardless of the situation. I think you may be personalizing our Lord's tale a little too closely to your heart, which remains touched by your past experiences and not truly encased in iron as our Lord.
Oh, snap.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but if I could, if you don't mind, I'd like to examine you a little more closely. I have sensed this sort of shroud hanging about you. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be rude, but could I, please? And he comes closer, and he's kind of like holding his hands up to his face. It's like, is this okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So he starts feeling your glands, like around your neck. He's like, does this hurt? Is this all right?
No, it's fine.
So then he like grabs you by the forehead and like kind of tilts your head back, and he like springs a light in his palm of his hand, and he's like looking like in your eyes and like up your nose. He's like, yes, just as I thought. Yes.
What do you see?
Well, I'm afraid some of the more insidious curses have a tendency to manifest around the nostrils, sort of flare quite a bit. And I don't want to alarm you, but that seems to be the case here. So I don't know the origin of why you have been afflicted with this, but I can certainly see it. And I understand your concern for our well-being, but for my own parts, I have told you that I feel myself to be short on time, and, well, perhaps Mother Nature or my own doom will beat your curse of the punch, eh?
Awesome.
And Firaza?
Firaza.
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 You hear all this going down. You were just, let's say saved. I mean, obviously you had your part in saving that, but I mean, had they not showed up, things could have got bad fast. Maybe you could have just flown out of there, but who knows? You hear all this going down. What are you thinking? What do you have to say about this?
It seems very strange that there would be an Osiriani in this part of the world. And especially one that I hadn't heard of, right? Like when
talking about Pudir.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know his name is Pudir. But yes, it seems very strange that there. And I think she just files that away.
Right. How interesting that this man that you came across also knew of an Osiriani.
Yeah, because we're very far away from Osiriani.
Very, very far away.
Yeah.
So it's like Denmark to Egypt, basically.
Yeah.
Do you try to win her to your cause, you guys? Or are you interested in joining them?
Well, situation? I think we already said that, right?
And she's on her way. She's investigating what's going on here. And
I said that I was trying to recover weapons to even the score.
Ah.
And she pledged herself in their service so long, for the time being.
Right. So you all have your own reasons for being here. Maybe it's fate. Maybe it's just wrong place, right time, right place, wrong time, but you've all found each other. And onward you continue towards Bloodsworn Vale, at least for Lork. You see the day turns into night. You camp out in that campfire now. You guys are battle weary. So it's a very it's a very weird thing. You're tired, but you're also kind of fired up from the fight as well. You're nursing your wounds, you're bandaging, and meanwhile, I can just imagine Pembroke just talking on and on about everything that happened in the fight, you might put the bandage on this way, put the bandage on this way. Meanwhile, Orphis talking to you.
Spending a lot of time talking to the red cap.
Right, I forgot all about Razzmatazz.
Yeah, Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz. He's a little too fired up for the group. But
does his energy ever subside? Or is it just
he's
like,
always just kind of like this. This is going to be great. I'm really excited about whatever it is we're going to do. This is going to be fun.
And so eventually you go to sleep, all of you, taking turns, and whoever is stuck awake is stuck with Razzmatazz, who seems to never really get tired. While you're sleeping, you'd see.
Shh, quiet.
You wake up the next day. Everybody wakes up, and Razzmatazz is passed out. So he probably was the last to sleep. Pile of his own drool. Maybe everybody gets everything needed to get done in the morning before they finally wake up. Let's go! And you guys continue onward. And eventually, the landscape starts to change. You can tell that the elevation is changing. You're climbing. You're getting closer to the terrain outside of the Mindspin Mountains, you would think. You know, the elevation is... There's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hills and valleys. So you can tell that it's getting closer to a mountain range. And for whatever reason, this group is clicking. You know, you fought a battle together. Sometimes that's all it takes to sort of realize the importance of the people you're around. And for whatever reason, you have joined to this cause. And like day 10 of venturing together, you eventually... You haven't seen a lot of life outside of, you know, wildlife and the red caps. So eventually, Lork, Barry Connick Jr., Firaza, Orphis, Pembroke, and Razzmatazz come upon a road. You follow the road along, because it's a nice change of pace from having to, like, trudge through heavy overgrowth or, like, wood paths that haven't been that trodden. And you see some cottages in the distance. Maybe like two or three cottages. And outside one of them, there's a man working in the fields. And he waves you over. Oh, there, travelers.
Oi, good day.
Where are you coming from? We don't see many people coming up this road this time of year.
We're coming through from Trunau.
Oh, from Trunau? That's 10 days, by horse at least.
Aye, we've been on the road for a long while.
Ah, yes, well, welcome. My name is Mikhail. Elena, come here. Let me introduce you to my wife. It's like this nice two-story cottage, very quaint. And a woman comes out, and she's holding a baby with her. He's like, this is my wife, Elena, and this here is our lovely daughter, Aubrey.
Oh,
yeah.
Out of here!
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
Welcome, welcome.
Valley, you son of a bitch.
Oh. Welcome to these parts. We don't get many bands of brothers and sisters as you appear to be, and this creature here.
Hello, I'm Razzmatazz. nice to meet you. Can I hold your baby?
No, you may not.
please don't.
All right, I just I normally eat him, but
he's very enthusiastic. He's quite safe, at least for the next several days.
I am so fired up right now.
Anyways, it was nice to meet you. It's my wife and child.
It's our pleasure to meet you as well.
You look a little worse for the wear, if you don't mind me saying. Have you been just sleeping outside? There's not a lot of towns between here and Trunau.
Aye, we've been on the ground sleeping for some nights now, but we've been enjoying each other's company, that's for sure. And
we do not mind the growth.
Ah, yes. Well, there's plenty of that around these parts, but you probably could use a good night's sleep. My wife's mother, tell him, Elena. And Elena speaks up. She's like, yes, my mother is an older woman of the town, not too far away from here. Shineman's Fortune, if you just follow the road, you'll be there by the end of the day, most likely. They're good people. And you please mention my name. Ask for Stryer Crown. That's my mother, and she will, I'm sure, welcome you with open arms. They're a strange group. They're you know, a lot of prospectors. You get a lot of people from all over that come to Shineman's Fortune. But the natives of the area are very, very sweet. And I'm sure if you just explain, tell them you know me, and you'll be fine. And you'll at least have a good night's rest wherever it is your travels are taking you.
I think we could all do for a good settlement. A nice roof over our head for a night.
Yes. Yes, I quite agree.
Good.
How long is the walk, you said? to Shuneman's Forge.
Well, it's about 2 p.m. now. You could be there walking in a few hours, most likely. It's not far at all. You'll be there by nightfall.
Great. Is there anything we can do for you before we go?
No, excuse me. We moved out here on purpose to kind of stay away from all the hustle and bustle. We just like being here, especially once now that we had a baby. We like to kind of be away from it all.
I'm sorry, trouble you. May I hold the child briefly? It's been some time.
He looks to Elena like, of course. That makes like a thing. Sweet old man, why not?
Yeah. And he just
some Abria.
Was it? Oh, look. Hello.
And he's just like holding it and just like playing with it. Just like laughing at it and talking baby talk for a little bit.
It's very, very sweet.
Oh, she's so lovely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just can't resist.
Can I hold it too?
No.
All right. That's all okay. Right. I just thought I'd ask.
It's all right.
And Lork is thinking, he's like, somewhere out here, there's a trueborn son of his that he has to find.
Right, seeing this old man with a baby.
Yep.
Has to hit everybody. And they're like, well, it's nice seeing you. We don't often get to say hello to travelers. Good luck in your journey, wherever it may take you. These are safe, fertile lands. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Aprio. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye.
So sad.
Mom. I'm sure they'll all be fine.
Goodbye, little.
Well, they're perfectly safe here. Let's move on to Shinman's Fortune.
Right out here in the open. There's nothing to fear.
And off you go up the road. It's a nice change of pace being on an actual road. Like I said, like it's a little more relaxing on the joints, not only for Pembroke, but for everybody that's been, especially Orphis and
Lork
and who knows how far Veriza has come.
She's coming really far. I mean, she landed in Corvosa and has been making her way across the land.
And does she appear to be, like, middle-aged?
She's in her 30s.
Okay. So middle-aged.
I don't know, Joe. Are you middle-aged?
Yep.
So you guys continue ahead. And, you know, it takes a couple hours. Night starts to fall, and eventually you see a walled city up ahead. Not a large settlement. Certainly not as large as Trunau. I don't know how it... you know, it certainly doesn't compare to anything in Absalom. I don't know how it compares to Assyria and to Orphis. It must look like the Ritz. But you reach the gates, and there are two guards out front. And they're like, what are you here for?
We are, we're traveling through. We're merely passing by. But we were told by Elaine.
Elena.
No.
We were told by Elena to use her name to... say that we're guests of her mother.
Well, that sounds very nice. We've got a lot of travelers around here, but there's a town meeting tonight. Nobody's entering in or out.
Well, we're happy to stay outside the walls if need be, but we're...
Well, that's probably for the best, then. There's plenty of campsites in the area that you'll be just fine and safe. Maybe come back in the morning.
Well, we're just peaceful travelers here, looking for a place to sleep with a roof over our heads.
I believe I said make your way.
Can I try a diplomacy check?
Sure.
So, pardon me. Sorry, gentlemen, but I spoke to... Do you know Abria?
No.
The little daughter of the couple?
Never heard of her. Don't know the name.
No, it's a small population here. I would think that perhaps you would know...
Move along, old man.
All right, fuck off then. Fuck you.
Whoa.
No, that's me telling you. Oh.
Yeah. All of a sudden, a rather handsome young man comes up while Pembroke is talking to the guards. And it's like, oh, what's going on now? And it's this guy is played by Jamie Dornan. Do you know this guy?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Dornan? Oh, I hate this guy.
He's the guy that plays Gray in 50 Shades of Gray.
Right? Yeah,
that's
he's,
not his. Oh. Look at that. Wait, don't.
Oh, that's your notes. That's your notes.
Not
your notes.
Look at my notes.
I'm reading them all. I just read them all.
Damn it all to hell.
He is. He plays the bad this guy dude. In The Fall.
Oh, yeah.
He's horrifying.
Yeah.
But, he's certainly a good actor.
Hello there. What are you doing outside? Orphan, Mother, he's talking to the guards. Yes, please, Adam, come on in right now. Are they giving you a hard time at the gates?
Oh, they said there's a meeting in the town, and for some reason, that means no one can go in the town.
Ah, you two, you're always worried about nothing. That's the whole point of this meeting. Please, come on in, come on in. My name is Finial Smick. I'm really nothing too special here, but I am, in charge of making sure people like this treat passers-by with respect. So come on in, come on in. And he ushers you past the guards, and the guards are just like... hands up in the air. You'll have to excuse them. They're just, everyone's a little worried. There's been word of raiders in the area and whatnot. Of course there's raiders. It's a town of prospectors. Everybody wants our gold. But, you know, you can't worry too much about it. Can I ask where you're coming from?
I'm coming from Trunau. I've met these folks on the road. We're all from a bit of a different place, but we're all headed the same way towards the Bloodsworn Vale.
Trunau, son of a bitch! That's a bit of a walk! Yeah, I don't see any horses. You walked the whole way?
Aye, we walked the whole way, and we could do for an inn and a spot of ale.
Saying in a spot of ale, are you talking my language? And you, I'm so sorry, it seems as if the guards were being rude here, my old grandfather. Is everything all right?
Oh, yes, no. Words bounce off me like rubber chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Launched by small children and yes, clowns.
That
old analogy. Yes.
No.
We all know exactly what he's talking about.
I'm sorry, we're all very, just weary from the road.
You look very weary, and then you look at you with this armor of spikes as though, were you fighting a battle on your way here?
Yes, though my armor may be spiked, my tongue is honeyed.
Oh, it takes all kinds here in Shinnima's Fortune, and you, young lady, you seem to have come from a far-off land. What brings you to Shinnima's Fortune?
Why, the charm of its people.
The charm of its people. Well, it's funny you should mention that. If you came here and you want a spot of ale and an inn, I can take you there right now. But there's a town hall meeting. You're welcome to come to them on my way there myself. You'll get to see everybody and meet the whole clan.
Aye, I think if we could meet Elena's mother, it would be an honor.
Oh, you know Elena? Did you meet her out on the country road?
Aye, we did. She had great things to say about your town.
Sweet folk. I bet you they'll live forever, those two.
It's a wonderfully defensible position.
Yes, those two. I always say, you two are going to live forever.
I can't imagine any circumstance where they'd perish violently or any by the art of the means.
Or if any strange wild animals would set upon their house.
Oh, you know, there's been rumors of six-legged cats out there. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, fairy tale. I've never heard of such a thing.
That's what I say.
Probably nothing.
Grumpkins and snubjogs. It's all fairy tales. Anyways, come to the town hall.
Where's this meeting?
Right this way. And he leads you up to a town hall, and it's kind of like a barn, basically, in the middle of town. And you hear a lot of... And you walk in, and you see on the dais a man, an older man, sort of sitting on a... not a throne, but like a high-backed chair in the middle. He's the man of the hour. To his right is Stria Crown, who I am now casting as Allison Janney.
I love her.
She's the member Stria Crown from our previous adventures.
I love Allison Janney.
Yeah.
And, did I say left or right? Anyways, on the other side of the man in the middle is Jirok Sneth, played by Brian Doyle Murray.
Whoa.
Brian Doyle Murray.
The current Brian Doyle Murray?
The current Brian Doyle Murray, yes. From, you know, Caddyshack and every Bill Murray movie, basically. And so the man on the front, sitting in the middle, is played by this actor here.
Troy LaValle. Oh, no.
Oh,
I know this guy.
Dude.
Yeah,
he is.
He's an Iron. Was he an Iron Man?
Yes, he was an Iron Man. He played the
the guy
in the cave.
In the cave with.
Right. I wrote down the actor's name. Oh, he's played by Sean Toob. Or Toob, his name is. Like Sean Toob.
Sean Toob.
Yes, Sean Toob. T-O-U-B. And so he's standing in the middle. To his left is Allison Janney. To his right is Brian Doyle Murray. And
fun cast.
There are people talking.
Yeah, really good cast.
Good cast, right? And there are people talking. It's like, we need to defend this town because there are raiders and reports of raiders everywhere. And they're just listening. The council's leading. And Stria Crown is like, we have heard of these raiders. We understand this is not the most defensible position. And we know that people will come here looking for gold, but these are not new rumors. Yes, but I have heard that they have monsters with them. One guy's like, we need to build higher walls to make sure that nobody gets in. Everybody's like, high walls. And then another guy's like, no, we need to build a moat around the town to make sure that these monsters don't make their way into our city. And everybody's like, yeah. And then you see like a hip young guy in like jeans and like a cross around his neck, but he's got a shirt open. He's like, you know, what I think we should do is just kind of have a bake sale. Hear me out, guys. People are laughing. We'll have a bake sale, right? And the proceeds will go. He he's sitting backwards on his chair. He's like, we'll have a bake sale. Hear me out. Stop laughing. Guys, stop laughing. We're going to have a bake sale, and the proceeds are going to go to just painting the walls a cool color. So everyone knows when you come to Schuneman's Fortune, we accept everybody. Finally, the guy in the middle is like, all right, thank you. I believe I've heard enough. My sons, what say you? And he turns to two young men standing off to his side. You'd think that they're like his first lieutenants. And the first guy is played by Farhan Tahir.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
This guy, Farhan Tahir.
Yeah.
My eldest son, what say you, Aram? And Aram says, Father, I have always trusted your wisdom. I believe that we will always be threatened, and it is best to overprotect rather than underprotect. And the older man says, sound counsel as always, Aram. You will make a great alderman one day. And Ymir, and he turns to another man who is younger and obviously another one of his sons, played by Ymir Arison from The Blacklist, if you remember him.
Yes.
And Ymir, what say you? I always trust your counsel. I balance it with your brothers. And Ymir says, I agree with my brother, but I also think it is best to be prudent and wait. Not wait until it's too late, but wait and see. And the older man is like, yes, wise counsel as well. There are obviously many approaches we can take, but my people, you must understand, Shinma's fortune has stood for a long time, long with my ancestors. We Shinemans have kept this place safe. I understand your concern, and I have taken it to heart. We will adjourn for the moment while I consider everyone's opinions. Thank you. As a little bit of a hubbub, like, clearly that's the final word. Not everyone is happy with it. Maybe his sons aren't even super happy with it. Like, the first son was like, let's take the more defensive position. But slowly but surely, everybody starts to kind of filter out, except for the sons, Alderwoman Stryer Crown, Alderman Jarak Sneth. And so you're there with Finial Smick, and he's like, well, anyways, this is our town. What do you think? There's a lot going on. It's not. I'd like to say it's not usually like this, but it actually is.
I know you're in a dangerous territory here. You said raiders have been about. Have you experienced any attack on the town lately?
There's always a small band here and there of raiders, but we normally
get... what? Orcs?
Sometimes orcs, but sometimes just other humans that hear about, you know, oh, so-and-so had a big find down the river, so, oh, they bring it back to town, and then sometimes, between you and me, it happens just within folk within the town. Someone has a good haul, and then there's all of a sudden a break-in, and the walls were shut all night, so we try to balance between overprotecting and protecting. It's just one of those parts of living in Shinema's Fortune, but as of late, we've heard rumors that the raiding parties are getting bigger, larger,
you say?
That's what they say.
Well, in any case, this is much nicer than anywhere that we've stayed as a company since we've been together. So, thank you very much for your accommodations and your wonderful This is just lovely. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, all I did was bring it to the town hall, but I mean, we have some of the best inns in the area. I mean, there's not a lot going on around here. You were lucky to find Shinnaman's fortune. You must have a good ranger among you. I can introduce you to the folks up here, and then I'm going to be on my way. Taram, Taram! And he motions to the older man. This here is Taram Shinnaman. He's sort of the man in charge, as it were. Taram, these are some outsiders that they were getting a little trouble from the guardsmen at the gate, but they seem to be good, strong men. If we have problems, maybe they could... I don't mean to speak for you folks, but it might be good to have them here in the city. Ah, well met, friends. What brings you to Shinnaman's fortune?
Aye, well met. My name is Lork Iron Tusk. I come from Trunau. This is Pembroke of Absalom.
Hello.
Absalom, Trunau. And what about you, folks?
And Orphas of Deepgate.
Deepgate. And you, young lady?
I am Faraza Al-Sid of Osirion.
Al-Sid of Osirion. And what about you, sir? Now, hello, I'm Razmataz, and I honestly cannot remember where I'm from.
It's quite all right, and I pull him aside, and it's just like, I managed to charm him during a battle with his compatriots. He's quite safe, at least for the next several days. We will, in all likelihood, kill him. Before the spell breaks. Don't say anything, but he's perfectly fine until then.
And Taram nods. He's like, I deal mostly in divine magics, but I am aware of such arcane arts.
Yes, yes, good.
It is smart. You must be careful, though, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, no, no. I am caution is my middle name. It may be. I don't remember.
Well, I need not tell you that. You are all most welcome from every part of Galarian, it seems.
Taram, as I know that you are a leader and that bears a heavy weight, and I do not wish to impose upon you too heavily, because I believe your sons have given you good counsel. However, I have come from a recent raid on Trunau, which was brutal and led by a combination of giants and orcs.
We heard wind of this. There were messengers that said that Trunau was under attack, but I was under the understanding that they were able to quell the rebellion.
Aye, but it was only at the last moment. The defenses of the city were all but broken. The orcs had managed to make it into the inner quarter with ease, but we fought them down at the last moment, but we lost many. The cost was too great, and if there's any way that you can build stronger defenses on your walls, it's one humble half-orc's opinion, but I think you should give consideration to it. Someone is organizing these bands, and they're terrifying to behold.
And Aram speaks up and is like, Father, this is what I have said to you. I wouldn't give you this counsel if I did not think it true. This man comes from Trunau. We could be the next Trunau. Why not be safe? What's the worst that could happen? And Ymir is like, I understand my brother's fears. I just think it's better to take a wait-and-see approach.
Can I sense motive on the other brother?
On Ymir?
Yeah. Just a sense if he's, like, in somebody's pocket or anything?
Sure.
19.
Coward.
Okay.
Yeah. He's, like, who is Roderick's little brother?
Cursed.
Cursed. Yeah, he's got that. He's got younger brother syndrome.
It's not like he's bought by someone.
No, no, no. You just feel like he's... He's afraid. He's afraid of, like, making any decision that's too big. Wait and see is safe to him.
He's just fear of making a decision.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought,
not even fear of that. It's like fear of making a decision.
I thought Lork was cursed.
No! Oh! So basically, Taram is like, I wasn't expecting visitors with such sage counsel, but it is good to know of someone that was at the Battle of Trunau. To be honest, I thought it was mostly... hyperbole. I did not know to take it so seriously. Perhaps you are right. Aram, Ymir, I understand you are much like me in your hesitancy, but maybe it is best to... It's interrupted by horns from outside. And all of a sudden... Everyone just like
stops what they're doing, hands on their hilt, weapons, and you see fear in their face. Oh! A third horn bellows. Jerax Sneth and Stria Crown bolt out of the building. And you just hear sound of wood splintering. Yeah!
Found it!
You're just there. We'll be right back.